We'll be in Joshua chapter 1 this morning. We'll be reading verses 1 through 9. But before we get there, I have a question. And maybe you've heard the question before. What are you afraid of? Or one of those small group icebreaker questions. What is your greatest fear? The reality is we all are afraid of something. We all, at times in our life, we wrestle with fear. It's just true. And now it looks different for different people, but adults, for example, if we've been parents or grandparents, we have fears related to our children. I know that I have fears at times. I fear that they won't make good choices. Any parents been in that boat before? As they leave the house, make good choices. We fear at times, or maybe we fear that they won't stay rooted in the faith. Especially in a world, if we head off to public university where they do everything that they can to dismantle faith in every corner. We fear, will they stay rooted? At times for our children, we fear for their health and their wellness. Sometimes we fear that they won't be successful. I see nodding heads, all things that parents have feared for kids, but also for ourselves. If we're honest, at times as adults, we fear about our own health. And we go to our yearly, or for some of you, your 10-year checkup. Start going to the doctor. I don't know why that's so hard. And we find out that maybe cholesterol is too high, right? Or maybe we've put on a few pounds. I know I have. It's funny, my genes keep shrinking. I don't know what the problem is. Or we worry about our work. For some of us who grow crops, is there going to be enough moisture to produce anything? For those of us who work in the school, are we really going to get to the end? Are we going to make it? For those of us who work in construction or building, are things slowing down? Are we going to have jobs to do? We might worry about our finances. Things get tight. Groceries are more expensive and gas is more expensive. And hey, maybe the landlord decided to raise your rent. It's like, how are we going to make it all work? There's war and uncertainty and cost of living and all these things, and we find ourselves afraid. We worry about the future. Children, they have fears too. They worry about different things, and some of it's similar, but they worry about whether a friend will like them or not, or whether they're going to get invited to a birthday party. I've told our youth group kids, I remember the first birthday party that Caleb was invited to that I wasn't. For those of you that don't know, I have a twin. His name is Caleb. Always invite both. It's rude. For my children, when my mom was sick, they worried about Grammy and whether she would live or not. They worry whether mom and dad will still love them, even though they used spray paint in the garage. Kids, too, worry about school, bad grades. Will it derail my 4.0 and my future? Kids fear punishment. It's where a lot of lying comes from. No one wants time out. Sometimes kids fear the dark. Adults are similar. We fear uncertainty too. We just don't think there's monsters under our bed. The reality is we're all afraid of something. So the next question I have is, what does fear produce? What does fear produce? Well, the experts would say that some fear is good. That fear helps keep you alive. It helps keep us from danger. I see angry bear, I am afraid, I run away. I'm not trying that lay down stuff. I'm always hiking with someone else and I'm making sure I'm faster than the someone else. It helps, fear can help preserve life, in a sense. I am afraid of skydiving. I will never do it. I don't trust a piece of cloth to get me to the ground. Okay? The experts would say fear keeps you from danger. Psychology Today, I read an article about fear, and it said, fear can be your friend, but in the right doses. I agree. Northwestern Medicine in Chicago wrote an article about fear and said that fear is a natural biological condition that we all experience. But many of the articles I referenced said that fear is complex because, yes, some of it is good, but a lot of it is bad. On one hand, it keeps you safe. On the other hand, it can paralyze you. We can be fearful of things that we've imagined. Take the bad grade, for example. If I get an F on this test, I'll fail this class. I'll have to repeat senior year, and my whole life will explode. There's only one of those things that's true, is that you failed a test. We build other things to be afraid of. We imagine things to be afraid of. We create something in our mind, and then we fear it, and it paralyzes us. So the third question is, well, what does God say? What does the Father in heaven, your creator, your sustainer, the one who gave you life and breath this morning to get out of your bed, get ready for church, and walk in here and sit down, what does that God say about fear? Over 100 times the scriptures say some version of, you probably know the phrase, fear not. Fear not, or have no fear, or do not be afraid. These words are spoken in some way, shape, or form to God's people over 100 times in the scriptures. So anytime the Bible repeats a theme, we pay attention. Friends, fear not. Do not be afraid. Have no fear. And at the same time, have you ever tried that with a person? Don't be afraid. I tell it to my kids. I'm like, don't be afraid. Does it work? Not really. But when the Lord speaks, fear not, have no fear, do not be afraid, He speaks it from a place where He is promising you something. And when the Lord says, be not afraid, do not be afraid, fear not, it's backed up by a powerful promise. And that's what we see in Joshua chapter 1. So that's where we'll go. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. There's a promise there. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that the Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't be afraid. The command or the encouragement, be strong and courageous. How many times did the Lord tell Joshua? Three times. But there's more. Why does the Father speak this way? Because the Father knows that fear fosters sin. Fear fosters sin. We doubt the promises of God, and when we doubt the promises of God, we become self-focused, stepping on anyone and everyone to get our way and preserve ourselves. We begin to act like those who are not perfectly and completely loved by the Father. We lie, we steal, we cheat, we torment, we taunt, we hurt and kill because of fear. Fear leads to a whole host of bad things. And the Lord knows if Joshua is going to be a good leader, he can't be afraid. He has to be strong and courageous. And you too, brothers and sisters, if you want to lead well in your families, in your work, in whatever circles you find yourselves in, you can't be afraid. You have to be strong and courageous. Fear produces the life that is apart from Christ. And the Lord knows this. And that's where the encouragement comes from, or the command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. My first point this morning is I want to argue that maybe Joshua struggled with fear. So the first point is this, that even the faithful experience fear. Amen? Even the faithful experience fear. I have been afraid. You have been afraid. And look at the life of Joshua. Three times he's told to be strong and courageous. Once he's told to not fear. But if we turn back a few pages into Deuteronomy chapter 31, when Moses is at the end of his life, he's like giving the charges. I remember vividly when my grandpa was passing on his deathbed, and he called all of us grandchildren into his room, and he gave us a charge. I remember he told us, he's like, I want you to keep this family farm running. I want you to get along. I want you to love one another. And I want you to work together. Moses does the same. Look at verse 6 of chapter 31. He's saying this to the people of Israel, but it applies to Joshua too because he's there. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for the Lord your God who goes with you, he will not leave you or forsake you. And then verse 7, then Moses summoned Joshua, specifically brings Joshua to himself, and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. Two more times, be strong and courageous. One more time, of fear not. Jump to verse 23, same chapter. And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous. For you shall bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you. So what's the total now? Be strong and courageous six times. Fear not twice. Joshua. And then you think, well, are you sure? We're talking about the same guy? Joshua? Joshua that we find in Numbers chapter 14, 1 through 12. Where Joshua and Caleb and a group of spies go to scope out the land, and they come back and the rest of the spies are like, hey, we can't go there. The people are huge. We've got no chance. And Joshua and Caleb tear their clothes and they say, are you kidding me? The land is good. God promised it to us. We can take it. We can do it. That Joshua now is being told six times, Be strong and courageous twice. Fear not. Even the faithful experience fear. I think Joshua was afraid. And the Lord knew that a fearful leader will become a sinful one. I'll give you one example. Look at King Saul. Saul is told to go out and conquer and kill and destroy what he finds. Yet, at one point, Saul keeps a king alive, keeps livestock alive, and takes all the gold and treasure that he was supposed to destroy. And the prophet Samuel shows up and says, "Good job, Saul." Right? Wrong. Samuel goes, "What are you doing? The Lord said, destroy it all." And Saul says, "Well, the gold's going to go to the temple and we can use the animals." And then he says, "Well, I did it because I was afraid of what the people would say." Saul sins. His fear leads to sin. He makes a decision because he's afraid of what the others will say. And then Samuel has to clean up his mess. Literally with the sword. Fear leads to sin. The Lord knows that if Joshua's filled with fear, he will be a sinful leader. But if I was Joshua, well, I'm Joshua, but not the Joshua. If I was Joshua, I would be afraid. Would you be afraid? Whose shoes are you filling? Moses. The guy who went on Mount Sinai, who heard the voice of the Lord, was given the law. That it was such a magnificent experience that his face shone brightly. He had to wear a veil because people were like, "Your face is so bright." That Moses. The Moses whom the Lord revealed himself in the burning bush and said, "Go get my people." The Moses who Lord said, "Go stand before the sea and I will spread it." And Moses does it. That Moses. Joshua's filling those shoes. For any of you that have taken over a business from someone who was very successful before you, you know that fear. How can I do it? I can't be Moses. There's a lot of hard work that Moses did. And Joshua knows that there's more hard work coming. Take the land. Fight the enemies. I think he was afraid, and the Lord knew it. And the beautiful thing about the Lord is he knows when you're afraid, and he gives you what you need. So again, point number one, even the faithful experience fear. Point number two, the faithful receive and act upon God's encouragement, commandments, and promises. There's a lot there. The faithful receive and they act upon God's encouragement, commandments, and promises. Look at Joshua three times, actually six times. Be strong and courageous. I would argue that it's both an encouragement and a command. Hey, be strong and courageous. You got this. You can do this. And you will do it. You will be a leader of my people marked by strength and courage. It makes me think of Hebrews. At youth group, we've been working through the book of Hebrews, and in Hebrews, the writer says, "Lift your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet. Put that which is out of joint back in joint." It's the same thing. Be strong. Imagine, you know, sometimes our high schoolers walk like this. You ever see that? It's like, don't be a droop. Lift your drooping hands. Strengthen your knees. Be strong and courageous. It's a command and an encouragement. You can do it and you will do it. You can do this, the Lord says. You've got this. And in the most loving way possible, he says, and you will do it. Have you ever given your children or grandchildren commands in the home and you're like, "You will do this"? It's kind of like that, but more loving. You will do it. You will be strong and courageous. How? Look what's in front of me. Some of you might be looking at your life and saying, Lord, I want to be strong and courageous. I want to do it, but look what's in front of me. How? And then he gives this promise. I will be with you wherever you go. I will be with you wherever you go. If you haven't realized it yet, what a powerful promise. There is no place where you escape the goodness of God. He will be with you wherever you go. It's even reflected in his Son. We know the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me, right? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always. He's reflecting the Father. I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. How can Joshua be strong and courageous? How can you be strong and courageous? Because the promise given to you by your Creator, your Sustainer, your Savior, the one who washes away your sin, who gives you newness of life, he says, I will be with you. Think of the words of Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Joshua can be strong. Joshua can be courageous. Joshua can push away fear because he's rooted in the promise that God will be with him wherever he goes. Again, a reference to Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer talks about, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith. May we be unwavering, like not blown by the wind, but rooted, because he who promised is faithful. So when you read through this book and the Lord makes promises, it's not some, oh, well, I hope it happens, like your Christmas list. I hope he gets the hint this year. He who promised is faithful. I will be with you wherever you go. There's no need for fear. There's no need for doubt, because the faithful one has promised you amazing things. So if we are going to be faithful followers, we need to receive and act upon God's encouragement, his commands, and his promises. We have to live as though the promises are actually true. Third, the faithful fight off fear with love. The faithful fight off fear with love. When this sermon started, you thought, I wonder if he's going to go to 1 John. You're right. I am. 1 John chapter 4, many of us have it memorized. I don't yet. I will soon. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The faithful fight off fear with love. Perfect love sends fear away. It casts it out, it drives it out, it pushes it away. Jesus, friends, is the image of perfect love. He lived a perfect life. He suffered and died. He was resurrected all for you, to secure you into the Father's hands. The world is filled with trouble, but he has overcome the world. The writer of Hebrews talks about him being the perfect high priest and that he paid for your sins once and then he sat down at the right hand of God. Why do we sit? Or when do we sit? You sit when the work is done. The reason we get up every day and continue is because our work is not finished, but the work of Jesus is done. He sat at the right hand of God. Perfect love. Secure in his hand, no matter what happens with you, wherever you go. So the question I have is, what do you have to fear? Nothing. We don't fear illness and death. We don't fear when we have little. We don't fear when things are falling apart or not going our way. We don't fear when relationships are in trouble or broken. We don't fear because we're secure. We're held. And the world wants to fill you with fear. Because in your fear, you will become liars and cheaters and doubters. In your fear, you will rob and kill and destroy. In your fear, you will push others down so that you succeed. In your fear, you will not be like Jesus. You will be like the enemy. So cast it out. We have nothing to be afraid of. Three applications and we'll be done. I forgot my watch. We're okay though. First one is this: don't beat yourself up. Even, like I said, even the faithful experience fear. Don't beat yourself up. Don't continue to live in that guilt and in that shame. It'll prevent you from going to God. Two, bring your fears to the Father first. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a trusted friend or family member or counselor or pastor, but go to the Father first. We have to establish a rhythm where we bring everything to the Father first. He's the one who can do something about it. Go there first. Then seek encouragement from those around you who love you, support you, and take care of you. Third, remind yourself of the promises. The book is filled with them. I will be with you wherever you go is one. God promises to forgive. God promises to love. God promises to guide. God promises to strengthen. God promises to sanctify, justify, all of it. But if you're going to lean on a promise, you have to know what it is. So dive into the good book and know your promises. So that when the world seeks to fill you with fear and the enemy puts fear in your heart, that you remind yourself, the Lord has made promises. Fourth, once you've done all that, don't beat yourself up. Bring your fears to the Father first. Remind yourself of the promises. Fourth, do what he commands. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Fear's hard. Strikes everywhere. The Lord desires for us to be a faithful one, a faithful people, not a fearful people. Know that you're loved. Know that you're secure. Do what he says. Amen.